FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it's Election Day plus one. We survived it, hard to believe, but if you were watching the markets last night, it was one of the most fascinating panics to watch from a distance. At one point, the Dow futures were down more than 700 points, and gold was up $60 the ounce. But of course, like all good things, it was not meant to last. Looking at it this morning, and it's 11:13 a.m. Eastern time. Yeah, we hopped back. We fell behind yet again. Another year, another pointless endeavor. But hey, it's November 9th, 11:13. Price of gold, it's up $1,360 the ounce. Getting back up to the 1,300 range. Silver, for those of you who watch the shiny metal, it's right around 1875 or so. It's up 37 cents the ounce. So, hey, as long as we're talking about precious metals, what's going on? Well, you know, we're always talking to up-and-coming mining miners, special situations. This one just so happens I'm an investor in, but the name of the company is Winston Gold Mining, and we've got on the line with us Murray Nye, who is CEO of the company and sponsor of the show, and we're thrilled to have you on here, Murray. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for inviting me, Kerry. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Hey, and so Winston's interesting situation. You're mining right now in Montana, and not what one really thinks about when you think about gold mining, is it?
Well, the great state of Montana has had a very dynamic history in mining. Some of the biggest mines at one time were located in that state, albeit some of them base metal mines. But there's been a long history of some very good gold mines in that state. In fact, Kerry, the last one we were operating was the historic Drumlummon mine, discovered in about 1880 by a fellow by the name of Tom Cruise, not the actor, but
I didn't think
but,
so.
but Tommy Cruise was, he became one of the richest men in the Western United States. In fact, the mine was so rich, he wound up selling it to the Rothschilds, and they took it over. And in fact, what Tom did was he donated some money and built a cathedral in the state capital in Helena. So it's a dynamic, you know, it really is a really nice, it's a really very interesting history in that state as far as gold mining is concerned.
Yeah.
So we're happy to be back there again.
Yeah. And this is your second go round here. You've mined in the state before your last company, which was a major success. So you kind of know the how to deal with the Montana mining authorities and what you need to do.
Yeah, we've had a good relationship on the last project with the DEQ, which is the Department of Environmental Quality. We were very pleased with the way they treated us, as far as they're very fair. And the former governor, Brian Schweitzer, was available to talk to different investment groups to allay any fears they might have about doing business in his state. And so we were quite pleased with the reception we had there. And because of that, you know, I think that environment that we had is, you know, as long as MSHA, the mine health safety people, were also very fair to deal with. And as long as we followed the guidelines and regulations that we're supposed to, everything worked very well. Uh-huh. And to the point where we created about 140 well-paying jobs in that state. So it was a big benefit to everyone involved.
Yeah. So now you're back a number of years later. Is it good to be home again? Things changed there, or what are the challenges?
Well, no, we like the state of Montana. It's we know some people there, quite a few people actually, and so we had some good relationships with you know, vendors and suppliers and whatnot. So you know, we're pleased to be back there. We like the fact that when we looked at the project, Kerry, one of the things we were targeting was we were very interested in higher grade opportunities. When I say higher grade historic information on what kind of grade the gold was coming out of the ground. So when we looked at these projects, we, you know, in the Winston case, they had mined 150,000 tons and created 100,000 ounces out of that that mining effort. And so that led us to, you know, an average grade historically. It's not a 43-101 compliant resource by any stretch of the imagination, but it did indicate that the grade was quite high at two-thirds of an ounce or better. So that being said, you know, obviously the fewer tons of rock you have to mine, the fewer tons of material you have to mill, obviously that you can create ounces of gold with less cost. So that's one thing that we looked at, because, you know, with the price of gold being low at the time we looked at this, it had come off the highs of $1,900 all the way back down to a little over $1,000 an ounce. And so we were kind of protective of the fact that we needed to look at something with higher grade if we're going to attract any investment dollars. The other thing that we like about the state of Montana is the infrastructure is all there. And I might add, we have a project in Arizona as well, and the infrastructure is the same there. So we are very close to a major highway. In fact, the Winston district or Winston mining area that we're looking at is only about a mile or half a mile away from where we're operating. There's a major power line going right through the middle of the property. So there's a lot of infrastructure in place that, of course, when you do start something like this, that lowers the CapEx considerably. So that's a few reasons why we look at the state. The other thing is, you know, we thought the jurisdiction historically is a very safe place to operate. A lot of companies can get into trouble because in different countries because of political change or something happens, and they can lose control very quickly over any operation in some areas of the world. And we thought Canada, the United States, and a few other countries we like would be the places we'd choose to operate in. And so those are the major reasons why we're in the state of Montana and Arizona is because of those reasons.
That makes a lot of sense, because the first thing you do when you're looking where to put your mind is look at political stability and political factors in the jurisdiction. Yeah, you're not going to be mining in certain states in the U.S., but other states, particularly out west, are very mining friendly. And so it makes sense. And infrastructure wise, of course, you look at your infrastructure, and, you know, when those factors fall into place, and then you're looking at your ore grade. So how did you arrive at this property for this project?
Well, we have a geologist. His name is Ben Porterfield. He worked with us on the Drumwoman project as well. So Ben's been with us since we started in Montana back in 2006, I'll say. So roughly 10 years we've been together. He was down there on another matter looking at stuff. And then he ran across this property in near the town of Winston, which is about 20 miles southeast of Helena. Mm-hmm. And the area was called the Winston District, hence we took the name Winston Gold Mining. So when he looked at this, he had discovered that there was one particular old mine on the property that was very high grade historically. There was also that even the property owners didn't know this, Terry, is that there had been a bunch of drilling done, and I'm going to say between 1985 and early 90s, 93, maybe 94. Several companies, I think three or four, came in there and drilled a total of roughly 670 different drill holes, trying to find an open pit situation or mining opportunity in that district. The gold wasn't widely disseminated for an open pit, but what they did intersect was a bunch of high grade gold veins. So we had access to that that data. So that, you know, that was about $9 or $10 million worth of data that we were able to look at and make some, hopefully, some informed decisions on how to prosecute this property. And with that in mind, we went to the market and took the company public in March. In a very, very difficult environment, I might add. And sure. Basically, I think somewhere in the summertime or, you know, in August, or, you know, the gold had made a turn, and a lot of the major gold stocks had made big moves, and the environment changed as far as investment is concerned. And hence, we were able to raise $2.5 million Canadian on a private placement we just completed, and we were actually oversubscribed by $1.5 million. So it was a big turnaround in the attitude towards investment in this sector.
Nice. Well, hey, it sounds like the future looks pretty good. And being able to do a private placement and being oversubscribed is always a nice position to be in for sure. And so drilling, when are we looking at all of that taking place?
Well, we have two drills on the Winston property right now. I think we completed maybe four or five holes. I have to check this morning and see exactly how we're doing there. We have a bunch of material in for assay, so hopefully we can, in the next week or so, maybe release some sort of results out of this initial drilling. And then the other thing that we've announced recently was we've signed a letter of intent to acquire another gold mine in the state. We're acquiring the lease it's a 20-year lease on another gold project we really like. That's, and once again, was from a grade standpoint, they did a bulk sample in, I think it was 2000 or 2001, somewhere in that time frame, where they took 500 tons of material and shipped it to the Asarco smelter, which was still operating at that time, and recovered over 900 ounces of gold out of that bulk sample.
Oh, nice.
Another company that we know quite well was operating the mine, and that's who we're trying to do the transaction with, hoping to complete that in the next 3 or 4 weeks, is the Gunsinger Group. They did a bulk sample in 2014, and they're trying to do this as a private company, and the market was really, very, very difficult from a public standpoint, let alone trying to do it privately. And but they did manage to raise some capital and did another bulk sample that we have the data on, and we're very impressed with that. So we think there's a project there at the Golden Jubilee that's pretty far advanced that we could maybe start tackling that either in the next few weeks as far as the drill program, and then maybe looking at maybe restarting that bulk sample that they were doing in 2014.
Wow. So interesting times ahead, and you're not just digging indiscriminately. There's a real methodical and disciplined approach to this, because I guess if gold was there before, found there before, with lesser advanced technology and techniques, then the odds are more is going to be there that they couldn't get, and it was just hard to get, right?
That's very true, Kerry. They didn't have diamond drills back in that time frame. Basically, when they got on a vein, they had to stay on it. And just as an aside, the Custer vein, which is was the main component of the Custer mine in the Winston district, they mined continuously for about 2,400 feet. And it was the 1890s, around 1900, it was one of the longest continuous stope mines in the world. So kind of shows you kind of the structure. So there's an old saying in the gold mining business, gold is where you find it. So I think the best place to look for these things is in these old mines, because you're absolutely right. I'm not saying that the methods they engaged back in the early days were very, very, very successful, and they were very, very good at what they did, because keep in mind that the price of gold was pegged at around $20 an ounce back in that time frame. I know the wages and everything have gone up, but we knew that from the operations that we had in the other mine, we knew that their costs were right around the around the $7 an ounce range. So they had to mine something to half ounce or better to make this stuff work. So they're very skilled at what they did back in that time frame. So we actually can learn a lot from what they did.
Yeah, well, it really was brute force back then, and a lot of divining rods to find where the gold was. But somehow they managed to do it. You look back in those old history books and you see the pictures of those guys and the conditions that they lived in and what they had to put up with, not to mention the threats from their fellow gold seekers. And it's amazing when you think what they were able to accomplish.
Oh, it is. At the last mine we operated, the Drumlummin, there was a tremendous amount of history and that we were able to tap into, it was an amazing story. That the mine was discovered by a fellow by the name of Tom Cruise, who not the actor, of course, but he was an Irish immigrant that he named the mine the Drumlummin after his hometown, and Mr. Cruise became one of the most successful operators of gold mines in the Western United States, selling the Drumlummin to the Rothschilds back in around 1890, I think.
Wow! Even then they were thick, knee deep in it.
Yep.
So yeah, the stories are amazing, and you're kind of the successor of the line. How'd you wind up getting into this, Mari?
Well, it was 2005, and we were always kind of in the investment business, Kerry. We had a public company that we tried to do a deal in, and the concept, at least, was very, we thought highly of, but the execution wasn't going all that well. So basically, we had a shell company that we were, you know, paying some bills on and keeping the company alive as far as auditing and all the other stuff you need to do with a public sure. company. And I thought that my partner and I thought that maybe we should take a look at an opportunity in the gold business. And I knew a fellow named Mike Gunsinger, who had worked as a contractor. Him and I were on the board of another junior mining company. That's how I got to know him. And I thought of him, and I asked him if he would help us with this. And he indicated to me that he had done a lot of mining back in the mid 80s, early 90s in the state of Montana, and thought that'd be a very good place to start. So him and I went down there and were able to acquire the former Drumlummon gold mine, and we're able to raise the capital for it. And we just happened to catch it right as far as our timing was concerned, because when we started in 2006, the price of gold almost started to move up immediately to a hit a high of, I think it was around 1900 in 2011. And we were able to put that, you know, the market cap in that company grew from, I'm going to say about $8 million, $5 to $8 million up to about pretty close to $100 million over the course of 4 or 5 years. So, you know, we took it all the way from I'm going to call it a quasi exploration phase all the way up to a production phase. So we're quite happy with the way that turned out. So yeah, you know, looking at the business at that time was certainly euphoric. Of course, over the last 4 years, I would not classify that. That has been very, very difficult.
In fact,
it was very hard to get this company public back in March. So, but it looks like things have turned around now.
What a difference a few months makes. And so your first mining experience, right? You're kind of learning it all then. I mean, you have, and by the way, that's not, we should mention that the team that you have in Winston is really first rate. So you're never really on your own, but it's a new experience and you don't know what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden things start going right. What's that experience like?
Well, it's kind of an up and down business for sure. I mean, when we started and we had 5 good years, Kerry, I'm going to say it the other one, it was really an exciting time in my life for sure, because, you know, we had created some really good jobs. We built relationships. Of course, it's nice being successful at anything, and the company was very successful. And then, you know, it intrigued us so much that we wanted to try it again. So here we are back, trying to develop actually three different properties in the U.S. I think we can be successful if we get the capital. You know, Mike is certainly a very capable guy. In fact, I might mention that he was one of the most responsible guys in putting the Renabi gold mine back into production in the early 80s, which was Barrick's first operating gold mine. So if you look at their website, it all started with that. Mike was very instrumental in putting that mine back into production. So we've got some very good talent working with us.
Yeah, well, you can't do these things alone. And it's the old cliche. It's the management, and it's the quality of the team, the depth of their experience, and whether or not you've succeeded before. And all of you guys have been successful. So my money's on you. I'm an investor in the company, as well as you guys being a sponsor of my show, which I really appreciate. And I guess we're going to know soon the results, and hopefully we move onward and upward from there.
I hope so too, Kerry. Yeah, you know, like we've got lots of targets on that Winston property, and then we've got a whole other, once we close on the Golden Jubilee, we've got a whole other opportunity there starting up right away too. So I think that mitigates the risk if we've got two properties going, and, you know, I think at least one of them will work out well, and hopefully both of them.
Let's hope. We got our fingers crossed. And hey, so I guess we should tell you what the symbol is, which is WGC.CN. Right now, where's the stock at? I haven't looked at it today. I think it was around 44 cents or so. Does that sound right?
Yeah, 41 to 44. Last at 41.
Oh, okay.
And we're also trading on the QB market as well.
Oh, you're on the QB. I didn't see that. So,
okay. I can give you the symbol on that too. Please. It's WGMCF. F is the designation for foreign.
Oh, okay.
On the QB market.
Excellent. So, and of course, there's a website you can go to get the latest information and to find out everything that's going on with the stock. What's the URL for the site, Murray?
WinstonGoldMining.com.
WinstonGoldMining.com. So I suggest you check it out there. The story is pretty compelling, and it looks like there's good times ahead, and we're going to see what happens. We'll check in with you again from time to time, Murray. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Kerry. It's a pleasure being on the show.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.